picture around of the Olympic Stadium in Greece. This is in Athens, Greece. The Olympics are starting this week, and I want to preach a little bit using that kind of as a theme for my message. This is the original stadium, the one that was in existence in the time of Christ, the time of the Apostle Paul. Of course, it's all been renovated and rebuilt. The Apostle Paul saw this. The Bible says he was up on Mars Hill in Athens preaching the word up on the Acropolis there where the Pantheon is, and all you have to do is look over the hill and you see this stadium right down there. And the Apostle Paul is going to use this. It's a narrower track than what, you can't see it very well, but this, of course, has been rebuilt over the years and so on. But this right here is the Olympic Stadium in Greece, and Brother Chris, come get it and just pass it through there and around. Don't worry about it. You'll see the stadium, and with that in mind, let's read 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. For those of you that have in your hands a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and I know some of you do, I love it myself, and of course we're talking about the King James Version. We're talking about a Thompson Chain Reference Study Bible. If you don't have one and you can afford one, I would encourage you strongly to get one. Like any study Bible, they're not perfect in the sense of man's notes, but the Bible is perfect, amen? But it is what I think the Cadillac of all the study Bibles, and I've been using one since 1972. And when you learn how to use one, it gives you many shortcuts to understanding many subjects in the Bible. But those of you that have one, notice to the left of verse number 24, Thompson's notes says this, illustrations from Grecian contests. We would say today, illustrations from the Olympics. The Olympics start this week on the 8th of August. And as I thought about that, I thought about this text right here, and certainly the Apostle Paul saw that stadium you're looking at in the picture, and Jesus knew all about the Olympics. They were the most famous sporting event of his day, much like maybe the World Cup is today in the world when it comes to soccer or the Super Bowl in football here in America or something like that. The Olympics were the greatest sporting event of the day when it came to Jesus' day. Now, of course, the Lord's not that impressed with that kind of stuff. He's just using it here as an analogy that we can learn some spiritual truths from. And I want to speak this morning on the subject of five crowns. Five crowns. In the book of Psalm 147, verse 10, I found this interesting verse. It says, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. All right. The whole world's going to be cheering these sprinters and so on and so forth. God takes no pleasure. Do you think God's impressed by their speed? I hardly think so. You think God's impressed that a man can throw a shot, put 70 feet maybe, if he's really good? I kind of don't think so. The Lord just kind of flung all the stars out there and the galaxies, and they're like the sands of the sea, and it didn't take him much but just his word spoke it all into existence. I don't think we're going to impress him with our athletic ability. It doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. And we have to be careful about sports. You'll notice in the next chapter, chapter 10, if you're still in 1 Corinthians, look at verse 7. It says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I want you to notice that play is sometimes compared to, in verse 7 here, to idolatry. And without a doubt, there's people who worship baseball. And they worship football. And they worship soccer and volleyball, all kinds of things. I mean, they put their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength into it. And it can become an idolatrous thing. So I'm not trying to do that with the message. I'm just saying that here and in the Bible, there are some incentives. The Lord is a motivating God. He wants to motivate us after our salvation to serve Him. Now, the greatest motivation, of course, is love. We ought to serve the Lord because we love Him. It says over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You know, for if we were all dead and now we're made alive, it says we ought to live unto Him who died for us and rose again and not live for ourselves. We ought to be constrained by love. I mean, we ought to just love Jesus Christ so much for saving us by His blood so we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to burn in a lake of fire. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to stick my finger in a fire for 1 second. And I'm just so glad that I'm saved. And we ought to love the Lord Jesus for bearing the wrath of God that was against us on the cross when He died in our place. That ought to motivate us. That ought to constrain us to serve the Lord. And we ought to be constrained by duty. In Luke 17 and verse 10, the Lord said we ought to do that which is our duty to do. There's many motivations the Lord gives us and says, you know, it's our duty. If somebody did their duty and came to us and shared the gospel with us, and we got saved, then we ought to do our duty and take the gospel to somebody else so they can be saved. Doesn't that make sense? We have a duty. We are debtors. The Apostle Paul said, so as much as in me is, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are Rome also. He says, I feel like I'm a debtor. Paul looked back at his life and he said, there's some people that died for me. I saw Stephen die for me. I held the coats of those that stoned him to death. And I hailed men and women into prison, and their testimony got to me. And I had brethren who were in the Lord before me who prayed for me. And you read these things in his writing. He says, I feel a debt. I feel a duty. I feel a duty that I ought to do something for God because others did something for me and brought me to Christ. But you know another motivation that the Lord has for us are His rewards. Our God is a rewarding God. And He offers us the opportunity to earn in this little life some crowns that we can wear in the next life. And the Bible talks about five crowns. And I want to illustrate these to you today and try and maybe give you a little visual, have a little fun with this, I guess, and just maybe a little visual today, and the preaching of the Word of God will cause us to leave the house of God this morning motivated. The Bible says we ought to set our affection on things above, not on the things on this earth. And we ought to think on the things which are eternal, not the things that are temporal. And you know, whatever it is that God has for us in heaven, and I don't know all about it, but I know the Bible gives us some little glimpses that, brethren, it's going to be worth serving our Lord for this small time. And He has promised us rewards and inheritances in heaven. Peter describes the inheritance this way in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. He talks about an inheritance that can't fade away, that will always keep its brilliance, that will always be dazzling. It's reserved in heaven for us. And you know, during this short, puny little time, this little vapor on earth called life, you and I can do certain things that will earn us eternal crowns. Eternal crowns. And the Bible speaks of five crowns. I want you to notice, number one, the master's crown. Number one, the master's crown. I'm going to ask Brother Chris Barron to come on up, and he's going to wear the master's crown. All you got to do is sit in the seat over here, Chris, and say nothing. But I want to give you a crown. You're going to have to make it yourself. It's got a bunch of slots in it, and I don't know how big your head is. But try to make that so it'll fit you. These crowns are courtesy of Burger King. You can put that on the back or something. Not trying to advertise Burger King. I know my son works indirectly for McDonald's, so. All right, the Master's Crown. And hold this in front of you. It's the Master's Crown. Let's talk about the Master's Crown before we go to number two. I want you to notice the word mastery. That's talking about athletics here in verse number 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. This is the Master's Crown. This crown is given to the participant, not to the spectator. Churches today are filled with spectators watching others do the work. Just as the Olympic Stadium this Friday, well, Saturday, I don't know when the games begin, but if you see any of them, you'll notice that there are just spectators in the stands by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands at the different avenues, wherever they may be, there in Beijing, China. But there will only be a few people down on the field participating. The Apostle Paul is using this illustration, and he's trying to encourage every one of us whom the Lord has saved to be a participant. And not only to be a participant, but he's saying to be the best of all as a participant. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain." Be a participant in the Lord's work. Be a participant in the race that God has laid out for you to run. And run so that you're the best. The Apostle Paul is basically saying here, he's saying, listen, try to be the best Christian that's ever lived in your day. Try to be the best Christian in your church. Not to go around and say, I'm better than everybody else at Faith Bible Baptist Church, because as soon as you say that, you've disqualified yourself. You're not on the field. You're disqualified. You've crossed the lines. You have not run lawfully. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery." This phrase, "striveth for the mastery," comes from one Greek word, agonizomai. Everyone that agonizes for the mastery. Oh, you wouldn't believe the agony that these athletes have put in to get to where they're going this Friday and Saturday and Sunday. These are people who have not been distracted by the world. These are people who have not been distracted by pleasure and by sin. These are people who have given themselves to one goal. I want to win. I want to be the best in the world in my time. And they do it. That they may obtain a corruptible crown. In the Grecian Olympics, it used to be just an olive branch crown. It's all us. You've seen it. You've seen the pictures of the olive branch crown. The thing was corruptible. It decayed. Probably a year or two later, it was just brittle and decayed and fell apart. But we, an incorruptible crown. The Bible says we can earn an incorruptible crown, the Master's crown, the participant's crown, the one who says, I'm not going to watch all my life while everyone else serves the Lord in my church and everyone else serves the Lord in my community. I'm going to be involved and I'm going to be the best that I can be. The Master's crown. Thank God for so many participants in our church who just, verse 26, keep fighting. Verse 27, to keep their body under control. They're not out there living in sin and lust and alcohol and all these other things and drugs and acting like this is a playground rather than a battlefield. But to keep their bodies under control, and they say, my life is given to the Lord. I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to run the race, and I'm going to run it the best I can. It's like a humble man like D.L. Moody who said, I want to just be a man. I want to show the world what God can do with a man under the control of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to just sit around and watch all my life. I want to participate. I want to be the best. And now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want to show you, second of all, the messenger's crown. The messenger's crown. I want to ask my friend, Brother Roger Olson, to come on up. This is what we call the soul winner's crown. I'm going to give him a crown here. As I was preparing this message, I couldn't think of anyone among us who might wear this crown, and I know he doesn't like me even saying that. But I thank God for this man. This man's a soul winner. You've got to fit that to your head, brother. The soul winner's crown. Notice, if you will, in the Scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The Bible speaks of the crown of rejoicing. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The messenger's crown. This is the person who tries to go out and win souls to Jesus Christ. And Paul said, what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? What's our crown of rejoicing in heaven? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? The Bible says that every single person that we reach for the Lord Jesus Christ will gather themselves around us in heaven, and they will be in our presence in heaven, and they are our glory and joy. The Holy Spirit said these words to us in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. You talk about wise, spend the rest of your life trying to turn as many people as you can to righteousness. The messenger's crown. That's to those who try to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. It's the wisest thing you can do with your life, is to try to reach as many people as you possibly can and take them to heaven with you. And they that turn to many to righteousness shall shine. Now these crowns are incorruptible. They fade not away. They dazzle people with their brilliance forever and forever and forever. And then number three, if you look in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. I think just for the sake of this one here, I'll try to be kind about this. I'm going to ask Mr. Moore if he'd come up. I want to show the marathon crown. The marathon crown. Here's your Burger King crown. Your sign. I want you to notice this, and I just use Mr. Moore. I'm just trying to be kind about it, but Mr. Moore is well down the road of his race for the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This is the marathon crown. This is given to those who will not quit. Boy, the church is just plagued with quitters nowadays. Somebody gets their little feelings hurt. You never see him again. I mean, he has a little disturbance, a little skirmish, a little brush fire in the church. Somebody said something about my kid. Someone said something about my grandkid. And next thing you know, you never see him again. I thank God for those that just will not quit. And just week after week and month after month and year after year after year after year after year after year after year, they're just there. They're in their place. They're doing what God wants them to do. They're still trying to serve the Lord. People like Mr. Moore and others. The Apostle Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He knew that soon he would be with the Lord. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. No one's going to get a medal at the Olympics this week without finishing their course. You can run 26 miles, 385 yards or meters, or 384 meters and stop 1 meter short of the finish line in the marathon. But if you don't cross the finish line, you're not getting the reward. Apostle Paul said, I finished my course. Now some of you need to get on course. You haven't even started yet. I want to encourage you to get on course. All right? And then finish your course. And listen, you're going to have to run over and you're going to have to run around a lot of quitters to do that. You understand? I'm talking about in the church, you're going to have to either run around or run over a lot of quitters. But just keep running. See, well, everybody else is quitting. But remember, the Lord said, as a crown of righteousness. And Paul said, it's not for me only, but for all that love has appeared. For everybody that just finds out what the course is that God would have them run. See, I haven't gotten this award yet right here. I kind of hope I'm only about halfway through my ministry. I'm hoping God will give me 25 more years. I'm only about halfway. I've only gone 2 laps in the mile. There's 2 more to go. I'm going to use Brother Josh Malucci for this next one. Turn to James chapter 1 and verse 12. This is the martyr's crown. The martyr's crown. Josh, you ready to die for the Lord? Amen. Amen. Have a seat over there. This is the only one that's mentioned twice in the Bible. The first mention, and I don't know if you've noticed this or caught this, I'm just going in the order that they appear, is in the book of James in chapter number 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now notice, the subject is temptation. The subject is temptation. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, not the one who gives into it. Not the one who constantly falls into temptation, but the one who is always tempted and tempted by sin and tempted by evil. But in every time he says, no, the temptation is not worth it. My Lord is worthy. Someone once wrote a book, something like this, Temptation. What it said after that. He made a statement, rather. Temptation. He said words to the effect, is God all you need? Temptation, is God all you need? Every temptation gives every one of us the opportunity to say, no, I don't need that. God is enough for me. No, I don't need that. God is enough for me. No, I don't need that. God is enough for me. No, I don't need that. God satisfies me. No, I don't need that. God gives me all the pleasure that I need. God is enough. And this is what we call the martyr's crown, because there's 2 ways you can be a martyr. Number one, James 1:12, to die to self. To resist temptation every time it comes by dying to self. Number two, to die physically. Turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. There are some, as far as we know, according to Dr. Raymond Barber, and I don't know how he knows this, he believes there's been over 69 million people who have died physically for the testimony of Jesus Christ since Christ ascended into heaven. I don't know how anyone would come up with those numbers, only God knows. There are people today in 25 different countries on this world that we know of who have died physically. They have been killed. They have been murdered. They have been murdered because their testimony of Jesus Christ was so great. They loved the Lord. They would not refuse Him. They would not deny Him. They would not recant their faith. Martyrs. You'll know them when you get to heaven. They'll be the ones walking around with the crowns on their heads. We can die to self, or there may be a time we'll be called on to die physically. It says in Revelations 2 and verse 10 at the end of the verse, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. God is a motivating crown, a God. And there are some crowns that He's going to give people in heaven. I want Pastor Seth to come finally. Because there's one other crown that doesn't really apply to many of us here today, but applies to him, applies to me, and that's the minister's crown. The minister's crown. This is the last one mentioned, and I don't think that's a coincidence. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse number 1 through 4, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The crown of glory, or the minister's crown. This one is given to elders, whatever they go by, whether they're called bishops or pastors or evangelists or missionaries, and they have been faithful, and they've not been lords over God's heritage. They've not tried to dominate God's heritage, but they've tried to lead by example, and they've tried to feed the flock. They've tried to give out the Word of God and the truth and not constraint. They didn't do it for filthy lucre. They're not in it for the money. The Bible says if a minister can live in such a way, when the Lord appears, He'll give that minister the crown of glory, the minister's crown. Now, brethren, I want you to look up here in closing. And I want you to remember what you see. And I want you to leave the church today and say, you know, this little life God's given me isn't worth wasting on myself. Because And we don't have time to go into this, but because they're going to strike up the band pretty soon. You know what that means around here. But the reason why, I want you to look this way and say, you know, I think I can earn that one. Because the Bible says in our worship in heaven that there's going to be a time when people are going to worship the Lord. And they're going to just cast their crowns at His feet. They're going to cast their crowns at His feet. I don't know about you, but the Lord's done a lot for me. It might just be something that maybe affects me this way. I'd sure like to have something that I could throw at His feet someday. I'd hate to stand there with nothing. I'd hate to stand there for all of eternity and watch people cast their crowns at Jesus' feet, and I would just stand there and say, oh, I wish I had something. But it's going to cost us just a little time on earth to say, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to live for myself. I know we're having people quit around here. We've always had quitters. For 25 years, we've had a parade of quitters come through this church. But some of you have been faithful. Stay faithful. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. I know the world's getting worse, but stay faithful. Don't give up. I know you're working in ministries, and some of you are burnt out, and some of you are saying, why doesn't somebody help me? But nobody will. They just go home. They come in, and for an hour, throw their money in the plate and go home, and you're getting this curve, but don't give up. Don't give up. Be a participant. Run that you might win. Say, I'm not going to just be a spectator. I'm going to be in the race, like Brother Chris here. The master's crown. I'm going to run for the master. And every time you see somebody have a gold medal put around their neck in the next 2 weeks, and the national anthem goes up, and they stand there, tears run down their face. Just think about heaven. And what you see in Beijing is nothing compared to what it is when the Lord gives out incorruptible crowns to those who are participants and try to be their best. And I think Chris is a man who's trying to be his best for the Lord. The messenger's crown. Brother Roger Olson. I won't even tell you some of the things he's told me, all the miracles God's done through him and his wife, just the soul for the thousands. Thousands. That'll be in heaven because he said, I'm not going to retire and just go around and have a good time. I'm going to spend the remaining days of my life winning people to Christ. I got 172 cards right here from the Dunkard Fair. People came in the tent, heard the gospel, and prayed, received Christ. So many of them say, Roger Olson. This guy struggles with his health, with his finances. That's going to be worth it all. Some of you can be soul winners and you haven't even tried yet. God can use you. The marathon crown. You know, I'm trying to be kind about this, but you don't see many men Mr. Moore's age in churches. Still doing what he can, amen? Heading for the finish line. The marathon crown. The martyr's crown. I hope this isn't prophetic, Josh. But this man wants to give his life to the Lord. He's told me before he'd like to go help his brother maybe in Bulgaria, be a missionary there. Now, those people aren't thrilled about his brother being there. His brother's already been jailed. His dad's been jailed and persecuted and beat up over there in Bulgaria and Turkey. They want to get into Turkey. Turkey's 99% Muslim. They're not going to give this guy a bear hug when he gets over there. Boy, we're glad to see you. Martyr's crown. And the minister's crown. Pastor Seth gave his life to the Lord in his teen years. I think it was at a camp, I'm not sure, but a lot through the preaching of Leonard Ravenhill and other things, and he's just been faithful to that. And God's working on him and honing him and helping him get better and better and better. God never stops working on us ministers, you know that? He's still working on me. But some of you need to surrender your life to the ministry. Sometimes it's a lonely life. It's a hard life. You're always under the microscope. The Lord said, if you just feed the flock and be a good example and don't take dominion over God's people, don't do it for money, just be faithful. He said, I'll give you a crown of glory. Crown of glory. The minister's crown. Let's bow for prayer. Men, you can be seated. Thank you. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We pray now that your blessing would be on the rest of the service. We pray the Holy Spirit would work. And, Lord, you'd help us to be challenged. Oh, thank you for so many that are here who love you, who serve you, who are faithful, who will not quit. But Lord, others are on the fence and been there a long time. We pray today. They would give their lives to thee, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.